Hello and welcome. This is Deep Dive and I'm Tiffany Meyer. Let's talk about big tech and what role it could be playing in the U.S. election. Now, some of you mentioned Trump's executive orders. I'll touch on that later in the episode. But first, big tech. Lots of news there. Let's delve in. Some updates. The Amistad Project had a hearing on Wednesday today, delving into election funding from Facebook. The group alleges that hundreds of millions of dollars were injected into the election, with $500 million coming from Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. They add this was done in violation of state election laws and resulted in an unequal distribution of funding, which they say resulted in depriving voters of both due process and equal protection. The director of Amistad Project and former Kansas Attorney General Phil Klein said at the hearing,
"The report we are releasing today, entitled The Legitimacy and Effect of Private Funding in Federal and State Election Processes, was commissioned by the Amistad Project of the Thomas More Society. The report details the flow of more than $500 million, more than the federal government expended in the CARES Act to fund the election during the COVID crisis, by over $100 million more than the federal appropriation. This effectively is a shadow government running our elections. $500 million into the hands of state and local officials who in turn allowed those private organizations and private interests to have access to sensitive and private information of American citizens that was of value to political parties and monetized for interests on the left. It also reveals how private parties, by dangling the dollar bill, incentivize local election officials to violate state law. The Michigan Attorney General threatened legislators with whom she disagreed with criminal prosecution. She tweeted it out and gave an interview that those legislators who might not agree with certifying the election could be investigated criminally by the chief law enforcement officer of the state of Michigan. Folks, that's totalitarianism. That is thuggery. It is stunning that America hasn't risen up with a uniform voice and state that when the state threatens people who are elected to be the voice of the people with criminal prosecution, if they speak on the people's behalf, should be arrested. That's not the United States of America. Michigan is under siege."
The Amistad hearing also touched on election integrity in key states.
"This is the report prepared by Stillwater. And it shows the flow of private monies on the top tier from leftist organizations through 8 private 501c3s, as well as 2 quasi-public private entities, demonstrating how they became the shadow government that managed the elections in the urban core. It was Mr. Zuckerberg and his money, the Democracy Fund, the Tides Foundation, and the 1630 Fund, Arabella Investors and the New Venture Fund, Skoll Foundation, Mr. Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan, and the Knight Foundation that we've discovered thus far that flowed these monies in for this purpose. These monies dictated everything from how to run the election to actually designing the ballot, designing the software for the poll books, encryption services for government. There's been a lot of discussion of hacking into our system. We were not hacked from without. We were hacked from within."
And big tech and the courts are facing off again. Europe just rolled out 2 new regulations for big tech. The first is the Digital Markets Act, which targets companies with a wide reach. How wide of a reach? Well, 45 plus million monthly users or 10,000 plus business customers. The act calls such companies gatekeepers, and they have to live up to their name. Under this act, these gatekeepers must disclose planned takeovers. They can't play favorite to their own products on their platforms, and they have to have limits on the data they collect. Any rule breaking would result in a 10% fine of annual global revenue. The second is called the Digital Service Act. Its goal is to rein in big tech and hold them accountable for illegal content. Any transgressions would result in a 6% fine of annual revenue. These still need to be ratified or made official, which could take some time. But if they become law, they'll be some of the strictest out there. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., big tech is also facing rising scrutiny. The Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, ordered the top tech companies to disclose their user data practices. The ones named are the top nine. They are Amazon, TikTok, namely the owner ByteDance, Discord, Facebook and its subsidiary WhatsApp, Reddit, Snap, Twitter, and YouTube, which is owned by Google. The companies have 45 days to respond. President Trump said earlier this month he would veto a major annual defense bill unless Congress repeals a federal law protecting internet companies like Facebook and Google. Otherwise known as Section 230, that law protects the tech giants from being held liable for user-posted content. The sweeping $740 million NDAA bill decides the annual policy and budget on the Department of Defense. And it has been passed every year since 1961. Earlier this year, the Democrat-led House and Republican-controlled Senate passed different versions of the bill. The National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, addresses pay increases for U.S. troops, aircraft and ship purchases, as well as how to deal with rivals like China and Russia. Lawmakers unveiled their final version a few days after Trump's note. This year's bill would prevent Trump from slashing the number of active duty troops in Germany and Afghanistan below a certain level. It would also contradict Trump's wishes to keep the names of Confederate generals on U.S. military bases. It also did not include the provision Trump wanted on big tech, which could set up a veto fight for Trump. So why is President Trump so adamant about big tech? Trump accuses Facebook and Twitter and other top tech companies of stifling conservative voices. Are these concerns unfounded? Some say so, but there are alarming reports surfacing. Throughout this election process, there's been fact-checking labels popping up all over social media. Why should this be concerning? Well, Facebook, for example, claims its army of fact-checkers are independent. But where is the money coming from? One such fact-checker, Lead Stories, is partly paid through a partnership with TikTok, the social media platform run by a Chinese company that owes its allegiance to the Chinese Communist Party. TikTok currently is being probed by U.S. officials as a national security threat. Moreover, the organization that's supposed to oversee the quality of fact-checkers is run by Poynter Institute, another TikTok partner. Lead Stories says it's been contracted by ByteDance for fact-checking related work, referring to TikTok's announcement earlier this year that it has partnered with several organizations, quote, to further aid our efforts to reduce the spread of misinformation, particularly regarding the CCP virus pandemic, which originated in China and was exacerbated by the CCP regime's cover-up. Lead Stories was started in 2015 by Belgian website developer Martin Schenk, CNN veteran Alan Duke, and two lawyers from Florida and Colorado. It listed operating expenses of less than $50,000 in 2017, but had expanded sevenfold by 2019, largely because of the more than $460,000 Facebook paid it for fact-checking services in 2018 and 2019. The company took on more than a dozen staffers, about half of them CNN alumni, and became one of Facebook's most prolific fact-checkers of U.S. content. This year, the funding sources included Google, Facebook, ByteDance, and several online advertising services. The group said advertising brought it less than $25,000 last year. The bulk of the funding still comes from Facebook. And a BuzzFeed investigative report delved into Facebook's ad juggernaut and the detrimental effect it's having on its users. Analysts have projected Facebook's ads are set to bring in a whopping $80 billion this year. But at what cost? The BuzzFeed investigation uses current and former employees, who says the tech giant does that by joining up with, quote, scammers, hackers, and disinformation peddlers, who use its platforms to rip off and manipulate people around the world. These employees told BuzzFeed banks benefit while people suffer. And Google just lifted its political ad bans on December 10th last week. This comes around a month before the Georgia Senate runoff races. Those are crucial as the results determine who controls the Senate. Will it remain Republican or will it flip Democrat? It seems all eyes will soon be on Georgia, the Peach State. And some people have been questioning why President Trump hasn't implemented his 2018 executive order on election fraud. But that order deals with foreign interference. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany told reporters Tuesday that she is not aware of any report issued by the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe's office, about foreign interference. According to the 2018 order that Trump signed, quote, not later than 45 days after the conclusion of a United States election, the Director of National Intelligence, in consultation with the heads of any other appropriate executive departments and agencies, shall conduct an assessment of any information indicating that a foreign government or any person acting as an agent of or on behalf of a foreign government has acted with the intent or purpose of interfering in that election. The order also allows for the imposition of any recommended sanctions against former entities or others that are believed to have interfered in the election. But since it was signed, there has been little mention of it until recently. Sidney Powell, who filed election-related lawsuits in favor of Trump, told the Epoch Times earlier this week that Trump could use the order. She explained that it could give Trump, quote, all kinds of power to do everything from seize assets to freeze things, demand the impoundment of the machines, referring to voting machines. Now, despite that, President Trump has already taken steps in that direction. He fired National Defense Secretary Mark Esper. The new Defense Secretary, Chris Miller, has already triggered a 2017 National Defense Authorization Act, where special operations report directly to him. But this is also activating a national security memo that was implemented under President Kennedy in the 60s, 1961 to be exact, which has since been dormant. Acting Under Secretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security Ezra Cohen Watnick noted that JFK predicted the need for special ops, which are particularly suited to unconventional warfare. He said, quote, the global demands for special operations forces then and now has confirmed President Kennedy's foresight. And now under the leadership of President Trump, we are fully realizing President Kennedy's prescient view of special operating forces. Known as Memorandum 57, the order bypasses the CIA and gives the special ops directly to the Secretary of Defense, turning them into a military function. So how are all the cards going to play? It seems only time will tell. Let me know what you think below. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks for tuning in to Deep Dive. I'm Tiffany Meyer, and see you soon. Hello and welcome. This is Deep Dive and I'm Tiffany Meyer. Today, I want to focus on three main topics. First, a forensic audit of Dominion voting systems, machines, and software in Michigan was released. Second, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has two key decisions out. And the third is that the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency has issued Emergency Directive 2101, calling on all federal civilian agencies to review their networks for indicators of compromise and disconnecting or powering down SolarWinds Orion products immediately. But before we get into that, some updates. The Electoral College cast their votes yesterday. Most of the 538 electors have been voting according to predictions. Electors in key battleground states like Georgia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania have cast their ballots for Joe Biden. Before this becomes official, these votes need to be counted during the joint session of Congress, when the House of Representatives and Senate meet on January 6th. This process will be overseen by Vice President Mike Pence, part of his role as Senate President. As Democrat electors in contested states cast their votes, Republican electors in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, and Michigan all said they cast procedural votes for President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. This comes as their state's formally appointed Democratic electors voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. For example, Pennsylvania's GOP issued a statement saying they cast a conditional vote for Trump and Pence at the request of the Trump campaign. They said it was to preserve any legal claims that may be preserved going forward and clarified that it is in no way an effort to usurp or contest the will of the Pennsylvania voters. And as the Georgia's electors awarded the state's 16 votes to Biden, six GOP electors in Georgia cast ballots for President Trump and said the contest of the election is ongoing. David Schaefer, the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, said they did this because the president's lawsuit contesting the Georgia election is still pending. When GOP electors cast their votes for the president, this sets up the potential for dueling electors. This is when one candidate is certified by the governor and the other by the legislature. If this deadlock occurs, the Supreme Court would have to resolve the election. Now, going back to the first matter, the forensic audit report of Dominion Voting Systems machines and software in Michigan. The background of the report is that Antrim County, Michigan, a traditional GOP county, found that Biden won this county in this election. The officials felt that it was strange, and so they checked the ballots and found that there are more than 3,000 Trump votes that flipped to Biden. After the problem was corrected, Trump won the county. The Michigan Secretary of State initially said that it was caused by a manual error, but more and more evidence showed that wasn't the case. After some judicial efforts, a judge in Michigan allowed experts to inspect the Dominion voting machines in the county. The experts visited Antrim County twice, once on November 27th and once on December 6th. The forensic audit was done on December 9th, but the report wasn't released until December 14th, the day when the Electoral College met to cast their votes for the president. The conclusion of the report was explosive. It stated the Dominion voting system is intentionally and purposefully designed with inherent errors to create systematic fraud and influence election results. A group made up of defense, intelligence, and cybersecurity professionals conducted the audit. A judge, Kevin Elsenheimer, approved the examination earlier this month. State officials challenged the report. The report adds the system creates intentional ballot errors. The intentional errors lead to bulk adjudication of ballots with no oversight, no transparency, and no audit trail. This leads to voter or election fraud. The forensic audit took place in Antrim County, Michigan. The report states election results from this county should not have been certified. A big finding in the report is the tabulation log for the forensic examination of the server for Antrim County from December 6, 2020, consists of 15,676 individual events, of which 10,667, or 68.05% of the events, were recorded errors. This problem has made a staggering number of votes requiring adjudication. This was a 2020 issue not seen in previous election cycles, still stored on the server. The allowable election error rate, established by the Federal Election Commission guidelines, is 0.0008%, while the error rate in Antrim County is 68.05%. This, then, is contradictory to Secretary Benson's claim of human error. The Antrim County Clerk and Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson have stated that the election night error of flipping votes from Trump to Biden was the result of human error caused by the failure to update the Marcellona Township tabulator prior to election night. But these errors occurred on November 6th, after the system in the whole county has been updated. In Central Lake Township, there were 1,222 ballots reversed out of 1,491 total ballots cast, resulting in an 81.96% rejection rate. All reversed ballots are sent to adjudication for a decision by electoral personnel, with no oversight, no transparency, and no audit trail. A video link was provided by the report to show how to cheat at adjudication.
There is nothing voted on this ballot. Mm-hmm. Everybody agree? Mm-hmm. It's a 100% blank ballot. Mm-hmm. And I can tell it to scan and adjudicate all ballots. I can go and vote that blank ballot. Oh, wow. Let's see. It scanned it. I'm going to accept it into the system And now let's see if it goes over for adjudication. Okay, it sent it to adjudication. And there's my batch, my blank ballot that I want to adjudicate. And I'm going to vote for Doug Collins. I'm going to vote for Bubba. And I am going to complete it. And I just counted that vote.
Now, Antrim County is a Republican-dominated county. And in the adjudication process, it is likely to be done in accordance with the original ballot's choices. But this raises the question, if in other areas, such as the Democrat-dominated Detroit, the adjudication process was done without inspection. Regarding that, there have been witnesses who came out to testify that one Republican challenger in Detroit saw the adjudication process as problematic and raised objections. As a result, he was thrown out of the counting center. The adjudication process without inspection or audit trail provides a huge opportunity for fraud. This is why people are suspicious of it. The Dominion system's deliberate high error rate produced a huge amount of votes that needed to be adjudicated. This then is a big discovery. The report said significantly the computer system shows vote adjudication logs for prior years, but all adjudication log entries for the 2020 election cycle are missing. The adjudication process is the simplest way to manually manipulate votes. The lack of records prevents any form of audit accountability, and their conspicuous absence is extremely suspicious, since the files exist for previous years using the same software. Removal of these files violates state law and prevents a meaningful audit, even if the secretary wanted to conduct an audit. We must conclude that the 2020 election cycle records have been manually removed. Likewise, all server security logs prior to 11:03 p.m. on November 4, 2020 are missing. This means that all security logs for the day after the election, on Election Day, and prior to Election Day are gone. Security logs are very important to an audit trail, forensics, and for detecting advanced persistent threats and outside attacks, especially on systems with outdated system files. These logs would contain domain controls, authentication failures, error codes, times users logged on and off, network connections to file servers between the accesses, internet connections, times, and data transfers. Other server logs before November 4, 2020 are present. Therefore, there is no reasonable explanation for the security logs to be missing. So, who deleted those important logs and why? Experts also found that on November 21st, an unauthorized user unsuccessfully attempted to zero out election results. This demonstrates additional tampering with data. These are the two most critical issues in the whole report. The report also mentioned that basic computer security updates in the system software and hardware was not provided, which is not compliant to the federal and state laws. Based on these major problems, the report concluded that this is a systematic problem. 48 counties in Michigan use the same voting software and hardware system. Therefore, the integrity and credibility of the entire Michigan election has a huge problem. Michigan election officials and the Dominion folks have since disputed the report. But in their rebuttal, they failed to answer the two main points. Namely, why were there a lot of errors in the ballot entry this year? And secondly, why were the system logs deleted? For these two points, they did not respond, instead focusing on other matters. The report concludes there are indeed big problems with Dominion systems, and that someone is trying to cover up the whole process. At the same time, Michigan officials are suspected of covering up the truth. But either way, the truth usually finds a way out, sooner or later. The second topic is about the two rulings that the Wisconsin Supreme Court made on Monday. These two rulings are related. They are about a special category of voters in Wisconsin called indefinitely confirmed. These voters, because of age, physical illness, or infirmity, cannot leave the house or cannot move. In such a case, they can vote by mail without providing identification proof. In previous years, the number of voters in this category was quite small. But this year, there were suddenly 215,000 such voters statewide, four times the number in the 2016 presidential election, which is a source of suspicion. Some local officials said this was possible because of the pandemic this year. The court ruled that the local official's interpretation of the law was wrong. A county clerk may not declare that any elector is indefinitely confirmed due to a pandemic. The court further stated that the presence of a communicable disease such as COVID-19 in and of itself does not entitle all electors, voters in Wisconsin to obtain an absentee ballot. Moreover, the court stated that in turn, because compliance with the absentee ballot process is mandatory, their ballots would not count. Then the problem is how to nullify these ballots. This is the second lawsuit brought by the Trump legal team. The Trump team sought to have problematic ballots disqualified in Dane and Milwaukee counties, including 28,000 ballots cast by voters who said they were indefinitely confirmed. This was rejected by the Wisconsin Supreme Court by 4-3. The court said the tossing ballots must be made on a case-by-case basis, which is impossible to perform in the current time frame. On the surface, there is a victory for the Trump team, but it is impossible to implement. This ruling provides a reasonable judicial guarantee for future elections in Wisconsin. And now on to the third topic. On the night of the 13th, the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA for short, issued a cybersecurity advisory. It said that a known compromise involving SolarWinds Orion products is currently being exploited by malicious actors. This emergency directive calls on all federal civilian agencies to review their networks for indicators of compromise and disconnect or power down SolarWinds Orion products immediately. CISA Acting Director Brandon Wales said the compromise of SolarWinds Orion network management products poses unacceptable risks to the security of federal networks. SolarWinds is a company providing network security services. It has more than 300,000 customers worldwide. Among them are more than 425 of the U.S. Fortune 500 in the U.S. All 10 of the top 10 telecommunication companies in the U.S., all 5 branches of the U.S. military, the U.S. Pentagon, State Department, NASA, NSA, Postal Service, Department of Justice, the White House, all 5 of the top 5 U.S. accounting firms, and hundreds of universities and colleges worldwide. According to Reuters, New York Times, and Washington Post, the U.S. Treasury and Commerce Departments, Pentagon, State Department, and National Institutes of Health were hacked. FireEye, a prominent cybersecurity company that was also breached in connection with the incident, said in a blog post that if it is cyber espionage, then it is one of the most effective cyber espionage campaigns we've seen in quite some time. According to FireEye's analysis, early this year, a malware called Sunburst was planted in the software updates for SolarWinds Orion business software. The hackers gained access to numerous public and private organizations around the world. The hacking may have begun as early as spring 2020 and is currently ongoing. It is the work of a highly skilled actor, and the operation was conducted with significant operational security. It has also found that Dominion Voting Systems is actually using the SolarWinds system for one of its file-sharing sites. Dominion Voting Systems uses the SolarWinds. Currently, many media point to Russia as the culprit, but no evidence has surfaced yet. What is known now is that the hack was very sophisticated and could be supported by a government. Last month, President Trump fired Chris Krebs, the director of Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Before being fired, Krebs famously claimed that there is no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised. Considering the serious cybersecurity breach of the U.S. government agencies and private companies, it looks like President Trump's firing of Krebs was a wise move. Now, as of December 14th, or yesterday, the Electoral College cast their votes. But the battleground states where lawsuits are ongoing is still considered contested, since in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, and Michigan, Republican electors cast their votes for President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. The dispute could be resolved in the Congress on January 6th. But if lawmakers cannot agree on a set of electors, the country will find itself in uncharted territory, which may prompt intervention from the Supreme Court. If history is a guide, the state delegations in the House may have to pick a president. Going by state delegations, Republicans have the majority. The Constitution does not lay much in terms of potential next steps. The language is rather ambiguous, as mentioned in previous episodes. So will we be entering uncharted waters? Let me know what you think below. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Deep Dive. I'm Tiffany Meyer, and see you soon.
A Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled the state made a mistake by giving blanket exemption to voter ID rules during COVID. Wait a minute. What? What are you saying? The ruling now opens the door to challenge potentially tens of thousands of ballots in the state where the difference between Biden and Trump is about 20,000 votes. Okay, now, they just ruled this Monday? After the electors were seated? Huh. State and local election officials made a mistake when they gave blanket permission allowing voters to declare themselves homebound and skip all voter ID requirements. Wow. In the case of challenging the practice in Dane County, one of Wisconsin's large urban centers around the city of Madison, the state's highest court ruled only those votes whose own age, physical illness, or infirmity makes them homebound could declare themselves indefinitely confined to avoid complying with the requirement of photo ID. Now, wait a minute. Hold on just a second. Are you saying people in Wisconsin might have made things up and voted as other people? Come on. Oh, another breaking news story for you. More than 1,700 Georgians were singled out for illegally casting two ballots in 2020 election, including last month's hotly contested presidential race. What? But their fraudulent votes weren't canceled out, according to state election officials. I thought everything in Georgia was fine. I thought the election officials told us everything is great here. So far, no one has been prosecuted. Well, why break the streak now? Why start prosecuting for people for things like felonies, federal crimes? You know, when we're not prosecuting people for other federal crimes. Why? Were they homeless? Are they black? Are they transgendered? You cannot really tell me that you understand their plight, and now you want to throw them in jail for a mere felony of voting twice? It's just like you white people. Or, better yet, one I learned yesterday, white parents. And really, parents in general. I don't know if you saw this, but parents are tyrants. Parents are just shutting their children down at every opportunity. And if you don't think that that's true, you're even a bigger part of the problem. Finally, someone has said it. Something that every 8-year-old thinks. My parents are tyrants. Finally, somebody speaking up for those 8-year-olds. Now, this is going to come as a surprise. So please, if you're driving, please pull your car over right now. Please. For those of you who are not driving, may I just say that this is a full-fledged duct tape alert. Your head may explode at any time. Please wrap your head in duct tape. It's not going to stop your head from exploding, but at least you'll have all of the pieces when you get to the hospital. And the doctors and nurses can look at each other and say, "Head explode? Yeah. Talking about the election, wasn't he?" Yeah. We get it all the time, brother. We get it all the time. Okay, I've given you enough time to wrap your head. The majority of these double voters were Democrats.
No.
Wait a minute.
No.
The majority of double voters were Democrats who cast an absentee ballot either by mail or by a Facebook drop box, and then they voted in person on Election Day. Why? The highest share of offenders, Pat, are you, you're seated. Should you lay down? Should, maybe you should lay down for this. The highest shares of offenders were from Fulton County, which includes Atlanta.
What?
Yeah. Many of whom were allowed to cast a second ballot by poll workers.
Huh.
And how did they do that when they were worried about that water pipe exploding? How could they?
Right.
That's probably what it was. A lot of homeless people. A lot of people that, well, you've stolen their future from. And maybe you were even a parent at the time. And they had a bad water pipe that was about to blow or not to blow. And they were worried about it. And so they just got confused. And you want to put them in jail?
That's because of your white privilege. That's why you want to put them in jail.
Amen, brother. You know what you're trying to do? You're trying to suppress voters because you know the election in Georgia is going on right now. Today, the same people. And nobody pays for any crime. Oh, that's great. What was that line from Rudyard Kipling? Where no man pays for his sins. Ah, that's great. It was it's an old poem that just kind of says at the end, it's going to be horrible, horrible slaughter and bloodshed and fire just to get back to the truth. What does he know? He wrote that after World War I and was predicting World War II. What does he know? You know, it's different this time. Now, the judge has ordered the release of the report showing that the Dominion voting system had a minor error rate. Okay, we are talking about an error rate of 0.0008%. So that didn't change any. Oh, no, wait a minute. Oh, that's what it should be. 0.0008%. That's what it usually is. It's a little different than that. It's a little higher. It's a 68% error rate. Now, this is the one just the last few days they tried to keep secret. They didn't want anyone to see. Yeah. That it demonstrated, quoting, a significant and fatal error in security and election integrity by an observed error rate of 68.5%.
That's only 8.5 million% higher than it should be.
But that's it.
You're so picky, Glenn.
But they said that this story really is lacking context. There is a vacuum of leadership in this nation, a huge vacuum of leadership, especially on the right. You know, who's your leader? Donald Trump's gone. Who's the leader? Mitch McConnell? Who's leadership? Who is coming out and speaking to people right now? Donald Trump needs to speak to his people. He needs to address the part of the nation that has been behind him and is supporting him, because there is no other leader. And without a leader, we will perish. Because everybody will say, I've got an idea. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And some whack job is going to do something. And they are waiting for this. I mean, it's interesting that the Transition Integrity Project said at the end of this, by January 20th, they assumed that Donald Trump was going to win. And in that scenario, by January 20th, they were threatening secession in their war games. And they had convinced states to secede by January 20th. Well, it looks like that's where we're kind of headed, isn't it? Except you don't have any leadership. They had it war gamed. They planned. Who would lead this great secession? You know, as we talked to Alan West, he said just yesterday on this program, why would we leave the country? We believe in the Constitution. We believe in the balance of power. We believe in truth, justice, and the American way. We don't want fascism. We want the Constitution, and we want it applied to everyone. We actually believe all men are created equal. I don't want a master. No man should have a master. We didn't leave the country. Washington left us. The politicians left us. The power apparatus left us. Well, where's your leader? You cannot move forward without a leader. You can't move towards peace or mayhem without a Malcolm X or a Martin Luther King. Without a Robespierre or a George Washington. Where are they? I can find the Robespierre on the left. They have a clear apparatus. They're all set up for it. But how do you even get people to listen to you if you are going to be silenced immediately online? Donald Trump needs to step up and say, here's the deal. You're going to accept that Joe Biden is the president, but I'm going to continue to fight, and I'm with you all the way, but we're still a nation. And we're going to work to change it, and change it we will. That would be very helpful. He could step to the plate and say, I don't accept this, and I'm going out in flames. Not real helpful. Don't think that that's what he would do, but at least we'd know. We need to hear from the president, and he needs to speak to people. Because for the first time in a long time, am I quoting Frozen? For the first time in forever. Sorry. For the first time in a long time, we are absolutely leaderless. Because Donald Trump is not saying, here's what we do. The left and the media, they've got their leadership. Who's helping us? I just said to Pat, I am not smart enough to be the person on the air at this time. I'm not. This thing was put together by the greatest minds that I think ever assembled and created something. I mean, it's George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Benjamin Franklin. These were giants in their time. It's the greatest minds of today, you know, Stephen Hawking, or at least his computer, and Elon Musk. These guys don't even compare. They don't even compare. What, you're going to take it from a Yahoo on the radio? You're going to take it from a couple of Yahoos? You're going to get it from your podcast? There has to be a meeting of the minds. There has to be a call to the, and in fact, I'm going to make it. There has to be a meeting of the leadership of the freedom movement, of the Constitution, where we can come together and we can actually discuss what's the future, what's the plan. The left does this all the time. George Soros funds it and has everybody go over to Davos to meet with him. We don't have that. But we need a plan. Because we have a lot to fight coming up beginning in January 20th. A lot to fight. And I was glad to see, let me play one clip here. This is from a Costco Guy gets up in the middle of Costco and just starts speaking the truth in California. Listen to this.
Don't let them do it. You know why we're under this lockdown right now? Because all the information is coming out about COVID, and they know it's a farce.
Hey guys.
You must not do this.
I just keep going, guys.
If you continue, this is a life that you will have.
I just keep going, guys. Keep going.
Don't tell me I have the right. You know what? Governor Newsom doesn't have the right to shut us down, to make you wear a mask. That's right. Okay. All right, people, you know that's right. We've got to stand up for ourselves because this governor is going to keep us locked down until we do something about it. And I want to know, are you going to let this happen?
It is as if they want, and I believe they do, they want violence. They have been begging for violence since the beginning of the Tea Party. They have been in our face, humiliating us, laughing at us, poking at us, calling us names, and we have taken it and taken it and taken it. And now they're destroying our businesses. They are crippling our children. They're lying to us every step of the way. Businesses need to open up. If you're going to have a voice, and you're telling me that, oh, I'm willing to stand up, open your business.